To the book of Hosea, chapter 11. Book of Hosea, chapter 11. Hosea was a contemporary to Amos. They both ministered in the northern kingdom, referred to in the Old Testament as Israel. We see from chapter 1 and verse 1 that Hosea began his ministry to Israel during the final days of Jeroboam II, under whom the nation enjoyed political peace, material prosperity. We also see from chapter 1 and verse 1 that Hosea had a very lengthy ministry spanning the reigns of four kings in Judah, which of course is the southern kingdom, and also the last six kings of Israel. The historical period of Hosea's ministry would be covered in 2 Kings chapter 14 through chapter 20, or 2 Chronicles chapters 26 through verse 32. We said he began his reign began his ministry during the reign of Jeroboam II. And following the death of Jeroboam II, Israel began to decline rapidly, and anarchy began to prevail. And Hosea and Amos were the last preachers, the last prophets to the kingdom of Israel. All through the book, he illustrates the absolutely deplorable condition of God's people. And he summarizes that condition in chapter 14 and verse 4 with the word backsliding. And that'll bring us to our text here in Hosea chapter 11, verse 7. And my people are bent to backsliding from me, though they called them to the Most High, none at all would exalt him. I want to take our thought this evening from those words, my people are bent to backsliding from me. From those words, we see that backsliding is a moving away from God. Backsliding from me. From these words, we see that there is a connection between God's people and backsliding. Not only is there a connection, but God's people are inclined toward backsliding. It says, my people are bent toward backsliding or to backsliding from me. That is, not only do we as God's people have the capability to backslide, we are predisposed to such. We have a tendency to lean in that direction. God is saying here, my people, those whom I love, those whom I have purchased, those whom I have saved, those whom I have blessed over and over and over, they have a leaning and they have a tendency away from me. So, in our nature is a tendency, is a predisposition to move away from God. That's true of all of us. It's in our nature. The realization of that about ourselves is a fearful thing. That we are inclined to move away from God is a fearful thing. Again, my people are bent to backsliding from me. That is a very distressing statement. That is a very alarming statement. It is a statement that ought to arouse our attention. It is a statement that ought to fill us with great watchfulness, with carefulness, and with fear. My people are bent to backsliding from me. Add to our tendency to such the infestations of Satan and the world, and the danger is great. So I want to speak tonight on the subject of the fear of backsliding. The fear of backsliding. First of all, backsliding is a real condition. Notice if we go over to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah and Hosea are the two books in which we read the most about backsliding. But in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 6, I want to read some verses that show that this is a real condition. We're not going to read the entire verses, just pick out some phrases here so you get the idea. About halfway down in verse 6, backsliding is real. Backsliding is real. Verse 8, we see it again. Backsliding is real. In verse 11, we see it again. Backsliding is real. In verse 12, same thing again. Backsliding is real. In verse 22, return ye backsliding children. In each one of those verses, we see backsliding is connected to a specific people. In other words, it is a real condition. Now notice in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 5, we see, why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back? So once again, the condition is real. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 22. O thou backsliding daughter. Again, specific individuals are mentioned. Jeremiah 49 and verse 4. Jeremiah 49, verse 4. Again, we see, O backsliding daughter. Over in the book of Hosea, chapter 4. Verse 16, for Israel slideth back. And in Hosea 14 and verse 4, I will heal their backsliding. Backsliding is an actual condition. It is a reality. And keep in mind, it is something that we are prone to. Our nature is inclined in that direction. The nature which we were born with has an inclination away from God. So backsliding is a real condition, and it is a condition that we are prone to. That brings us to the seriousness of the condition. Many times the word backsliding is used in a very light manner by God's people, in sort of a trivial way, with an air of indifference. But that should never be the case. Never. Backsliding is no light matter. Backsliding certainly is no trivial matter. The word backsliding is a word that describes a negative spiritual condition of God's people in relation to God Himself. Again, it is a negative spiritual condition relating to ourselves and God. Therefore, it is never a light thing, it is never a trivial thing, and it is never something that we should be indifferent about. Every backsliding, to some degree, is an act of opposition against God, is an act of rebellion against God. Now, God's people have a tendency to limit and confine the word backsliding to certain visible behaviors. But backsliding is a far, far reaching word. The word backsliding is a word that speaks of a spiritual reduction. Any reduction in spirituality ought to concern us. Whatever area it's in, it ought to concern us. It is a spiritual drop-off. To backslide is to drop off in some area spiritually. It is a spiritual downswing. This is no trivial matter. It is a spiritual relapse. It is a turn for the worse. When we backslide, we have made a turn for the worse. It doesn't matter in what area we backslide in. Wherever we backslide, we have made a turn for the worse, spiritually. It is a reverting. It is indicative of a declining spiritual condition. It is a going backwards spiritually and losing spiritual ground. It is a turning from God. It is a departing from God. It is a going in the opposite direction of God, whether it be in our thoughts or whether it be in our actions. It is a going away from the Lord. It is a drawing back from God. It is basically going in the wrong direction spiritually. There is nothing more important than the spiritual matters. And to go in the wrong direction spiritually is no trivial matter. Is no light matter. Whatever area we go in the wrong direction in spiritually, it's not trivial. It's not something that we should be indifferent about. Again, backsliding is far-reaching. This spiritual reduction, this spiritual drop-off, this spiritual downswing, this spiritual relapse, this spiritual declining, this spiritual going backwards and drawing back and going in the wrong direction can happen in a variety of ways. It can happen in a variety of forms. And it can happen in any area of our spiritual lives. And it can happen in various degrees as well. But be sure of this. No matter in what area we backslide in, you can backslide in prayer, you can backslide in on and on you can go. But no matter what area we backslide in, and no matter to what degree, backsliding is real. And it's serious. And it's a very grave matter. And you and I are not only capable of such, we have a bent in that direction. We are inclined to backslide. A sliding backwards from God. A moving away from God. No matter what the form, no matter what the degree, that is a very serious, a very grave matter. And we read in Jeremiah chapter 2, in verse 19, "Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee." Notice, wickedness, backslidings. "Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing." Wicked, evil, backslidings. Three words in that verse. Jeremiah 14, verse 7. There is the mention of iniquities, and then it is stated, "For our backslidings are many. We have sinned against thee." iniquities, sin, and backsliding. So from these two verses, we see that backsliding is evil. It is sinful. It is corrupt. It is twisted. And therefore, it is no small matter. It is a very grave matter. It is a very serious matter. And again, not only are we capable of such, we are inclined in that direction. We see the seriousness of the condition of backsliding from the book of Hosea. We don't have time to go to all these verses, but all through the book, Hosea pictures the sinful condition of the people. He said in Hosea 4 and verse 6, "Thou hast rejected knowledge." Thou hast rejected knowledge. In chapter 4 and verse 12 and also chapter 5 verse 4, he mentions that they were given over to the spirit of whoredoms. The spirit of whoredoms. In chapter 4 and verse 15, he said that they played the harlot. In chapter 4 and verse 17, he said they were joined to idols. In chapter 4 and verse 18, they have committed whoredom continually. Chapter 5 verse 7, they have dealt treacherously against the Lord. Chapter 7 verse 13, they have fled from me. Chapter 8 and verse 3, they have cast off the thing that is good. Chapter 8 verse 7, they have sown to the wind. Chapter 8 verse 9, they have hired lovers. Chapter 8 verse 11, they made many altars to sin. Chapter 8 verse 14, they have forgotten their maker. In chapter 9 and verse 1, they have gone a-whoring from thy God. In chapter 10 and verse 13, they have plowed wickedness. Chapter 12 verse 1, they feedeth on wind. In chapter 13 and verse 2, they sin more and more. Now, if you just looked at all of that, and there are many other verses too that draw a picture, but you get the idea. You would say that's a very serious condition. No one would deny. No one with any spirituality would read those verses and deny that this is a very, very serious and grave condition. But then we come to the end of the book in chapter 14 and verse 4. And Hosea summarizes these things. I will heal their backsliding. That's the summary. All of these things fall under the heading of backsliding. It's mentioned twice, the spirit of whoredom. The spirit of whoredom. Backsliding is serious. Backsliding is the spirit of whoredom. We're talking about spiritual whoredom. There is no worse whoredom. There is no worse form of harlotry than spiritual whoredom and spiritual harlotry. And backsliding is the very spirit of whoredom. So backsliding is a very serious matter. It's a very grave matter. I had someone tell me one time, asking them about their salvation, and they said, "Well, I'm saved, I'm just backslidden. And I said, "You make that sound like it's no big deal. I'm just backslidden. It's a big deal. It's a big deal for a child of God to be in a backslidden condition. Backsliding is not only a real condition, it is not only a very serious condition, it is a very dangerous condition. There's no more dangerous condition for a child of God. The very meaning of the word, sliding backwards from God, implies danger, implies hazard, implies threat, jeopardy. And remember, we are inclined to such. And remember that Satan and the world draw and allure us towards such. So the danger is real. And the danger is always present. There is the danger every single day of our lives. There is the danger we may backslide today. Every day we are in danger. The danger of such is seen from the fact of what backsliding does. The Bible says it fills one with their own ways. The statement is made in Proverbs 14 and verse 14. It says, the backslider in heart, and that's where it begins. The prodigal didn't begin in the hog pen. The prodigal began thinking in his mind, and he began to be discontent with the father. That's where it began, and that's where it always begins. The backslider in heart shall be. That's a matter of certainty. It does not say the backslider in heart probably will be. There's a good chance he will be. It says he shall be. The backslider in heart. We haven't even gotten to the one who's backslidden visibly. We're just talking about the one who is backslidden in heart. Shall be filled with his own ways. So, a spiritual reduction in our heart, a spiritual drop-off in our heart, a spiritual downswing in our heart, a spiritual relapse, a spiritual declining in our heart, no matter in what realm, will permeate the individual with his own ways. That's very dangerous. Because we read in Isaiah that our ways are not God's ways. To be filled with our own ways simply means we're going to go further and further and further away from God. When the heart turns and departs from God, it always begins, it always goes in a different direction than God. Whatever the form, whatever the area, to whatever degree, God's ways are replaced with man's ways. And this leads to innumerable hazards. When we begin to get filled with our own ways, we have placed ourselves at risk. We have placed ourselves in great jeopardy. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. One of our own ways is to justify ourselves. We read in Jeremiah 3 and verse 11 that backsliding Israel hath justified herself. That's what we do. That's one of our ways. We justify self. So what does it mean when it says backsliding Israel had justified herself? That simply means they gave warrant for their backsliding. That is, in their hearts and minds, they had a reason to depart from God. There was a reason for their condition that justified them, that made it right. And no matter what the circumstances, and no matter what others do, there is never any warrant for you and I to draw back from God. Never. Never is there warrant for backsliding. But when we begin to get filled with our own ways, well, if they didn't do that, then I wouldn't have had to, and on it goes. And pretty soon the individual said, well, I'm the innocent party here. How can you draw back from God? How can you depart from God and declare innocence? That's utter foolishness. That's ludicrous. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Another one of our own ways is to overlook our backslidings. We just overlook it. We just don't pay attention to it. That's one of our ways. Another one of our own ways is to deal with our backslidings in our own way rather than God's way. And all that does is bring us further away from God. Again, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. And such results in being more and more permeated with our own ways, which leads us to the next danger. The danger of backsliding is seen from the fact that backslidings can increase, will increase, and become ongoing. And that's what happens when one begins to justify themselves. Again, all backsliding begins in the heart. You begin to think wrong things. You can go to church, you can go through all the motions, and everybody can think, boy, they're right with God. But if you're backslidden in heart, your life is beginning to get filled with your own ways. And you're moving further from God. So it begins in the heart, and it begins in a specific spiritual area. Here's what we do. It's another one of our own ways. We may know that we're backslidden in some specific area. But we see someone else backslidden in another area. We focus in on that. We hone in on that. We put all the emphasis upon that. Why? It takes our attention away from ourselves. And their backsliding is always worse than ours. So, you need to realize that backsliding will never, if it is allowed to continue, will never be confined to one area. Never. We read in Jeremiah 2, verse 19, and Jeremiah 3, and verse 22, of backslidings, plural. And in Jeremiah 5, and verse 6, their backslidings, plural, are increased. And in Jeremiah 14, and verse 7, for our backslidings, plural, are many. Backsliding becomes backslidings. It goes into other areas. And this backsliding and these backslidings will lead to shocking and even stupefying behavior in other areas of our life. We read in Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 6, there's a question that is asked. Hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? There's a tone of shock in that question. Have you seen what backsliding Israel has done? She has gone up, it goes on to say, to every high mountain and on every green tree, and there played the harlot. Oh, what the backsliding individual is capable of doing. Not only does backsliding grow and spread into other areas, but those backslidings that increase become ongoing. Jeremiah 8 and verse 5, why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? By a perpetual backsliding. In other words, one backsliding, unchecked, will become backslidings, and then these will become perpetual. Beware of backsliding. Beware of backsliding in any area of your life. Because left unchecked, it will spread. It will spread throughout your life, and it will spread to the lives of others. Beware of backsliding in any area. We ought to fear backsliding. With the danger of backsliding increasing and becoming ongoing, that presents the next danger. the danger of control, the danger of a loss of control. The very word backsliding, again, conveys the idea of sliding backwards. In Hosea 4 and verse 16, Hosea draws a picture. And he says, "For Israel slideth back," and here's the picture, "has a backsliding heifer." Has a backsliding heifer. That presents to me a picture of sliding out of control, backwards. Out of control, backwards. And when you're sliding backwards, out of control, you can't stop it, you're out of control. That leads to horrific and deadly dangers. And that puts everyone in jeopardy that you deal with. It puts them in danger. So this idea of a loss of control, backsliding can get to the point where it's like you can't stop it. You're picking up speed. And you may stop and think, you know, I'm not right here. But zoom, there you go. You can't stop it. It's out of control. That's dangerous. That's very dangerous. We ought to fear such. The danger of such is also seen in the consequent loss that backsliding brings. All backsliding, all spiritual relapses, every spiritual decline, every turning, and every departing from God results in spiritual loss. This is true whether the loss is realized or not. You may never realize the loss in this life, but every departure from God results in a loss to you and I spiritually. It results in a loss of opportunity. Therefore, we ought to fear backsliding. There are people who are afraid they might lose a dollar. I'm telling you something, there's something far worse than losing money. There's something far worse than losing a job. And that is losing out spiritually. And we lose. We lose something every time we depart from God. It may be the loss of a blessing. It may be the loss of spiritual sight, the loss of spiritual strength, the loss of spiritual zeal. It may be the loss of spiritual peace. You cannot continually go away from God and have the peace of God in your life. You cannot continually go away from God and have spiritual assurance. You cannot continually go away from God and have joy. And you cannot go away from God and have wisdom. Amen. You lose these things when we depart. It also can result in a loss of God's favorable presence. We read in Numbers 14 and verse 43, "Because you are turned away from the Lord, therefore the Lord will not be with you." It can result in a loss of God's favor. We read in Jeremiah 15 and verse 6, "Thou hast forsaken me, saith the Lord. Thou art gone backward. Therefore will I stretch out my hand against thee." We ought to fear backsliding. The loss can be far greater than any loss you will experience in the physical world. The danger of backsliding is also seen in the fact that it is presented under the image of a disease, of a wound. In Jeremiah 3 and verse 22, "I will heal your backslidings." Hosea 14 and verse 4, I will heal their backsliding. The word heal means to make sound, to make whole, to restore, to mend, to relieve, to repair, to correct, to alleviate. It conveys the idea of disease. It conveys the idea of a wound. When we think of disease or we think of a wound, we associate those things with pain and suffering. Backsliding is a disease. Backsliding is a wound. And backsliding will involve some pain and some suffering. And again, the backslider will be filled with his own ways. Here he is, or she. They're now suffering with emotional pain. Being filled with their own ways, what do? It's brother so-and-so's fault. It's sister so-and-so's fault. It's the church's fault. All that does is add to their pain, add to their sorrow. Backsliding is a disease. If you were to go to the doctor tomorrow, and the doctor sits you down and say, I've got some bad news. You've got an incurable disease. Most would think, there's nothing worse that could happen to me this day. But why is it that that would so upset someone? And yet you can point out to them, my friend, you've got a disease. It's a spiritual disease. And it's spread throughout your whole body and your whole life. And it doesn't faze them. There are diseases worse than cancer. There are diseases worse than those that will take your physical life. And they're spiritual diseases. And many times when you, with a gathering, can almost be preaching to a hospital. People are sick. They're sick spiritually. And what's so sad is they don't know it. They think they're healthy. They think they're doing fine. But backsliding is a disease. It's a wound. And therefore, in Jeremiah 2 and verse 19, it is mentioned with that which is bitter. That which is bitter is distressing. It's shameful. Backsliding is shameful. It's a shameful thing to depart from God. It's bitter. It's unpleasant. Backsliding will never bring a child of God happiness. Again, as we've said over and over and over, happiness is not a pursuit. Happiness is a result of a life lived. And backsliding will not bring you happiness. Departing from God will not bring you joy. It's painful. It's sorrowful. And it ought to be regretful. The very word, heal, implies that something is wrong. It implies that something is wrong. It implies that something is not right. And in whatever area we backslide in, something is wrong. Something is not right. No matter how much we tell ourselves, I'm fine, I'm fine. When we're backslidden, something is wrong. Something is not right. If it was right, you would not need healing. No matter in what area of your life that backsliding may occur, and no matter to what degree, something's wrong. Something's not right. You know, every now and then someone begins physically to say, you know, I just don't feel good. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. I know something is wrong. And they get very concerned. What ought to concern us more is when we know that in our spiritual condition, something is wrong. Something's wrong. That ought to concern us. That ought to send us to the physician of souls, Jesus Christ. So backsliding is a fearful thing. We ought to fear it. But praise God, backsliding is not without remedy. There is a remedy. Hosea 14 in verse 1, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God. Hosea 14 verse 2, turn to the Lord. What is the remedy? The remedy is return. This is repeated all through the Word of God. Over and over, Israel was told, return, return, return. Backsliding is a departure from God. The only way to fix it is to return. The remedy is always the same. Doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter in what area we've backslidden. The remedy is always the same. Return. It doesn't matter what our circumstances are. The remedy is always the same. Return. There is no other remedy. There is no other way to be healed. There is no other way to get better. A backslidden individual, well, I'll just start going to church. I'll start taking notes of the pastor's sermon. I'll start doing this and this and this. That will not fix backsliding. There's only one way. And that is to return. In whatever area we've departed in, we need to return. There must be a returning. Well, I'll go forward to church and I'll just say, I'm sorry. You can do that every Sunday. But unless you return, nothing changes for the better. Change for the worse, but it won't change for the better. There must be a returning. And if we refuse to return, we will never recover from backsliding. And it is the refusal to return that leads to perpetual backsliding that was mentioned there in Jeremiah 8 and verse 5. Again, the question is asked there, why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? And then he answers the question. They hold fast deceit. You see, when an individual becomes backslidden, their flesh will fill them with lies and deceit. The devil will also. You're not that bad. There's other people worse than you. And you wouldn't have done that if so-and-so would have acted right and treated you right, and on it goes. They hold on to deceit. And the devil sells an individual that lie, and you hold on to it. I'm not letting go. I'll go to my grave with this deceit. I'm not letting go of it. You'll never return. Holding on to the lies. And it says they hold fast deceit. They refuse to return. So there has to be a returning. What does that mean? Well, Hosea 14 and verse 1, this returning involves a personal recognition of sin. For thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. There has to be a personal recognition of sin. This involves a personal confession of sin. We see that in verse 2. Render the calves of our lips. There must be a personal recognition that our only help is in the Lord. Verse 3. Asher shall not save us. You get in a backslidden condition, there's no one that can pull you out of that condition. Only God. Only God. Asher will not save us. You've got to come to the realization. Brother so-and-so, the pastor, he can't save me from this condition. Must go to God. Thanks be to God that we are allowed to return. What a blessing. We depart from God all the time. And the remedy is always the same. Return. I'm glad He makes it possible for us to return. The very word return implies that He'll accept us. When He says return, and that means to me that He'll accept me back. In Hosea 14:4, there's a promise of healing. When we return, I will heal their backsliding. There is a promise of love. I will love them freely. There is a promise of mercy, for mine anger is turned away from him. In verse 5, there is a promise of blessing. I will be as the dew unto Israel. The dew speaks of life. It's indicative of growth and abundance. The dew speaks of that which is regular. As you read on there in Hosea 14, you see there's a promise of growth and beauty and fruitfulness in verses 5, in verse 6. You see, backsliding takes all those things away from us. The Lord, when He heals us, restores. There's a promise of strength and stability. There in verse 5, and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. That's strength and stability. And all of this results in a new determination in the hearts of God's people. Verse 8, Ephraim shall say, what have I to do anymore with idols? What have I to do anymore with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. For me is thy fruit found. Who is wise and he shall understand these things? Prudent and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. Oh, how fearful we ought to be of the condition of backsliding. And in light of the fact that we are inclined to such, in light of the fact that Satan and the world does everything they can to allure us into such a condition, oh, how we need to always be examining our heart, examining our life, examining every area of our life. Well, I used to do such and such in the church. I used to. And on the list goes. Unless you have health problems, unless you're providentially hindered, may I ask why? Is it I used to? Why is it in the past tense? Have you drawn back from God? Well, you got to understand. Sister so-and-so said something. You're filled with your own ways. You're justifying yourself. That's not the remedy. The remedy is to return. Remedy is to return in whatever area we've departed. There is no set of circumstances that gives warrant to you and I to depart from God. None. And there is nothing in our circumstances that make it necessary for us to remain in a backslidden state. Because God says, return. Return. There isn't anything in your circumstances that make it necessary for you to remain in a backslidden condition. So to any one of us that are backslidden, and I believe if we were to truly examine our lives, I mean make thorough investigation, we would find some area, somewhere, where we have gone backward spiritually. We can so concentrate on certain areas that we neglect others. It's a very delicate situation. But to all who may be backslidden, there are better things. But you have to return. You have to return. You have to flee to God. So all that we would fear backsliding, that we would be aware of the very first signs of backsliding. Some people, they're very, very much aware of the very first signs, and I'm not criticizing, I'm just using an illustration. They're very aware of the first signs of perhaps a physical problem. They're shaving. Ooh, ooh, I feel a lump there. Ooh, I feel a lump. Honey, come here. Do you feel this lump here? Oh, something's wrong. Oh, something's wrong. And immediately they're going to the doctor. Why don't we get that concerned? When we detect something, when we detect some spiritual signs, something's wrong. Something's wrong. We need to get to the doctor. We need to get in the Word. We need to return. The very first signs of spiritual disease ought to cause us to be very concerned. If I wake up in the morning and I can't hear anything, I'm going to get to the doctor. If I wake up in the morning and I can't see anything, I'm going to get to the doctor. If I wake up in the morning and I can't walk and I can't speak, I'm going to get to the doctor. Yet people wake up in the morning, they're spiritually deaf, and it doesn't concern them. They're spiritually blind, and it doesn't concern them. They cannot walk spiritually, but it doesn't concern them. It ought to. It ought to greatly concern us. God help us to be a spiritually healthy people. To be free of spiritual disease. It's a good feeling to go to the doctor and get a clean bill of health. Everything is fine. It's a good thing to go to the Lord and know I'm where I ought to be. I'm right with God. I'm right with Him. That's wonderful. But it won't last long. Because we have this inclination to draw away from Him. And in some area, at some point, we're going to begin to draw away from the Lord. But backsliding will never become perpetual if we recognize the first signs when we begin to depart from the Lord. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us in verse 1.